Greetings, you're listening to Rebels Remembered, featuring Caitlin DeFord and Kelsey DeFord.
Greetings, travelers across the galaxy. I am Kelsey.
I am Caitlin.
And this is Rebels Remembered, and today we're discussing Star Wars Rebels episode Season 3, Episode 18, Secret Cargo. Secret Cargo aired on March 4th, 2017.
Basically, the synopsis of this episode is we learn that the Ghost crew is having to transport some secret cargo, and it turns out to be Mon Mothma.
Yes. Speaking of Mon Mothma, Genevieve O'Reilly replied, is that how you say her name? O'Reilly?
Yes.
Reprises her role as Mon Mothma. She first played the Senator in the Star Wars Revenge of the Sith. Which, by the way, there are some deleted scenes that she, if you haven't seen, look them up, from Revenge of the Sith. And returned nearly a decade later for Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. And then, I believe, as the time of this podcast is recording, she's also in Andor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Josh Brenner, a longtime Star Wars fan, provides the voice for Erskine Simaj. He plays Dale in The Big Bang Theory and a big head in Silicon Valley. I'm not sure who Josh Brenner is, but it's in the Star Wars trivia. People are going to kill me for not knowing who that is. This episode includes also John Dutch Vander, the real name of Gold Leader, who was played by Angus McInnes.
Huh.
Sounds like a very Scottish name.
Scottish, yeah.
In Star Wars A New Hope, and in archival footage reused in Rogue One. Didn't know they did that for Rogue One. For Star Wars Rebels, in this instance, he is voiced by Yuri Lowenthal.
Which is one of your favorites.
One of my favorite voice actors, yes. The Y-Wing seen earlier in this season have been further modified to better match their final appearance as seen in A New Hope and Rogue One. Which I don't know about the modification. I'm not that much of a nerd to know what's been modified.
I'm not either, because you know, unless I see it side by side, I can't tell. But I think it's more clarification that, excuse me, that we're getting closer to A New Hope, like in those events
in the timeline.
Yeah,
yeah. So basically, the episode outline is that it starts off. I mean, obviously, I was very aware that the secret cargo was Mon Mothma.
Yeah.
It's kind of obvious.
Yeah, also, before we go any further, before this rewatch, had never seen this episode. So, this is like new, this was like new eyes
like
for me.
New,
I'd
new
never,
for you.
Never seen it.
Well, we'll get to the later about what you think about it. But, yeah, so we have them listening to a speech by her, and then they're told that they're going to be shipping this cargo. They find an Imperial droid, Gold Squadron appears, which is interesting. It's always interesting to me to see different cells interacting with each other.
Yeah.
You don't get that a whole lot, because once they get involved with Phoenix Squadron, it's very heavily Phoenix Squadron, except for maybe this episode and, Iron Squadron.
Also, the level of security in this was new for me. Because I'm so used to the, you know, their Phoenix Squadron. They should know everything now, right? And even, I guess, because the cargo is her on the run, basically. Because she called him an executioner.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to me that there was a little bit of banter there. Like, why can't, we didn't know all the details here, you know.
Yeah, because they're kind of reprimanded by Gold Squadron for even attacking the infiltrator droid. Because your mission was to stay, you know, quiet. And of course, Hera's like, well, we would have if you told us everything.
Everything.
So even Hera is kind of like a little bit jaded that she wasn't informed of Mon Mothma being aboard.
Yeah.
So basically the entire episode is just pretty much a firefight in the air.
Yeah, and it's basically just them trying to get her to, where is she headed to? I can't even remember. She's headed somewhere to give a speech.
Yes.
I can't remember exactly where, but basically it's just them trying to keep her safe and keep her out of the hands of the Empire throughout this entire episode, pretty much.
Yeah, and of course she, of course, gets there safely, and she's able to broadcast, a message saying that she has resigned from the Senate and we should all come together and rebel.
And also, I know we're jumping around here, but that speech that she gives at the very beginning when they're looking at her through the hollow net, at the time of this podcast, Andor season 2 has been released. I haven't seen it or season 1, but I do know she does give a similar speech in that story. I think I listened to this, you know, for the first time, and I have listened to her speech on Andor. You can probably find it on YouTube. And they are similar, but they're a little bit different-y at the same time.
How different-y are they? Like, is like a subtle difference or is a huge difference?
It's basically, I feel like this is like the Cliff Notes version that we see.
That's
not everything that she says, but it's like similar. It's the similar themes, basically, of like the Emperor's like caused genocide to people and we need to stand up, and basically the same pretty much theme.
Okay. What did we think about Ezra piloting a Y-Wing in this episode?
Because obviously I'm not biased at all. I loved seeing Ezra pilot something because I feel like we've seen him in like the Phantom and things like that, but like actually making him feel like he's like part of like the old Gold Squadron was really cool. And also I love the part when Hera was like, just remember everything I've taught you. So apparently been giving him pointers.
Hera has been giving him pointers on how to fly and pilot, which I think that's new information for us. I don't think at any point do we see or hear of her training Ezra. Also, I don't think we've ever seen a nebula like this before. So, like, once it's revealed that Mothma's aboard, they're trying to get away from, I believe it's Constantine, but I'm not sure. And it's called the Archeon Nebula. And I will say, Kevin Kiner's score, every time we have a nebula, or, what was it, the Lassan episode, the music is just very, like, ethereal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was listening to it when we were watching it, like, that's kind of pretty. It's kind of lulled me to sleep a little bit.
Yeah, and it did remind me of Legends of the Lassat episode a little bit. Like, the way the colors and the way it looked. But it wasn't the exact same. Props to the animators, though, because it looked really cool. Especially when it ignites.
Yeah, that was interesting. And I think that sort of raises the stakes story-wise, too. They're told you can't use your torpedoes because they will ignite the gas in the nebula. And we also get to see Volt Scaris return.
Scaris, why does that name sound familiar?
I believe this was the guy that was chasing Sabine and Wedge.
Oh, that was him?
That's him. And when he popped up, I looked at you and you were like, I don't know who that is.
Well, yeah, because it was that after Thrawn deduces, like, Hera's going to take some other
passage, which is in this nebula.
And he's like, we're going to get one of our best fighters. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say this hot take right now. All the Imperials Thai guys look the same to me.
That's fair. I think that's fair. Because Volt Scaris looks very similar to the pilot we see in Empire Day.
Yeah.
So he's got a mustache, you know. I think that's fair. Not only is he back, but he's piloting the prototype TIE Defender. And so we see the TIE Defender is like a big plot point. It will continue to be into season 4 as they try to take down this TIE Defender factory. But I kind of knew what it was when the Emerald Constantine ship catches up to basically waiting on the other side of the nebula. And they send Volt Scaris, and then I think Dutch says, why does that TIE fighter, like, they can't go into hyperspace? Mm-hmm. And so that signals to me and to the audience, like, this is probably a TIE Defender.
Yeah, and I think I know why now. This is another hot take here. I never understood, I think I've said this to you on previous episodes, I never understood why the TIE Defender was such a big deal. And I found out why. It's because I never saw this episode.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So I was like, whatever. It's just a tie with shields. Like, it ain't that bad. And when I saw this episode, I was like, oh, okay.
That makes sense now. Because I remember a couple episodes back, we were talking about the tie defender, and you were like, so what? And I'm just like, then it makes sense now because you hadn't seen
this episode. I never saw it maneuver anything. So that explains a lot. Now I understand.
We also get to see, meanwhile, Hera and Mon Mothma are aboard the Ghost, and they are pulled into this tractor beam from Constantine.
Yeah.
I think they, I can't remember, like, they go on ahead, and then Ezra and Dodger kind of get rid of Volt Scarus in the nebula, and we have this interesting, banter, I guess, between Mon Mothma and Price.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah. And she's, like, stalling until they can figure out how to get out of the tractor beam. Yeah.
We don't really hear, I think Price says, you have some big demands. You know, we don't get to hear what those demands are because it's kind of intercut. And then she just, like, don't care.
I'm about cursed. I can't stand Price. Oh my gosh, she is so brutal. She's such a Karen. I said it.
She even has the Karen haircut. It's just not blonde, if you think about it.
Like, I love Mary Elizabeth McGlynn, who voices her. She does such a good job. But I just.
I don't know if you can curse. I know we don't normally curse on this podcast, but she's definitely tight. Would not want to cross her. Very bound to business, by the book. No empathy.
No.
Very cold.
No, she's a I'm going to say it. Like, she is a
we'll put a censor up there. But yeah, you also get to see just sort of Mon Mothma is becoming, and I don't want to say shout out to Andor, but I'm told you see the disillusionment that she has with the Republic, the Senate.
Yeah.
In Andor, but also you get a little bit of it here where she's like, I need to be on the front lines. I've tried doing it diplomatically and it's just not working.
Yeah, I think she says something like, the battles can't be won from the Senate. And I'm like, why did it take you so long, though? And maybe Andor kills that part of her journey. But I'm like, let's be honest. The Empire was formed. I want to go on, like, a tangent. It was formed, like,
hot take.
After the fall of the Jedi, right?
Right.
Why is there still a Senate?
That's sort of my question. Even in A New Hope, and I'm sure some Star Wars nerds can answer this for us. Even in A New Hope, when Leia's like, you can't attack Alderaan because we're a peaceful people. I'm on a diplomatic mission. And I hear that, I'm going, they don't care.
Yeah.
Like, why are you pretending? Like, I guess because they're pretending that you have power?
Mm-hmm.
But for you to not realize that your republic is a sham? Like, yeah, you have ascended, I guess.
But
that's hard for me to, like, yeah, same with you. Well, same is, what you said, yeah.
It is interesting, though, to have someone like a senator. I mean, I've only seen bits and pieces of clips from Andor, but, like, I'm pretty sure she comes from privilege, like, and wealth. I'm pretty sure to be a senator.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
To give all of that up, to go on the run and help the Rebel Alliance is pretty amazing.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, with a senator like this, they'll just execute you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just you being a senator and having maybe some knowledge of, I don't know, the inner workings of the Empire, whatever. It's like what you represent. You represent the Republic of a, sort of not a higher power, but someone of authority, and you're choosing to disobey the Emperor. You gotta
That's
go.
That's true. And also, it's almost like, kind of like the Jedi. Well, you're old news.
So we get, you know, it's a big firefight, it seems like. And we have Ezra and Dutch firing proton torpedoes in the nebula. This causes a reaction that overtakes the ships. The animation. I was like, oh, I never have been so happy to see an Imperial ship burn the way it did. It was just like, you could see it kind of crumbling through.
I was not expecting it to burn like that. I was expecting it to blow up like normal.
Yeah.
No, this is, like, singed, and I'm like, this, yes!
This is like a solar flare reaching out and just everything it touches. And so, Mon Mothma, they have her safe and sound. She broadcasts a message from the Ghost. She announces her resignation from the Senate, saying, we will not rest until we bring about an end to the Empire and until we restore our Republic. Are you with me? And so we have sort of this silence where, out of this, all of these ships emerge from hyperspace. This, my friends, this is our rebellion, Mothma says. What do you think about the ending there?
I have a question.
Okay.
I don't know if you can answer or if this is something I have to find myself.
Plot hole?
Yeah. So they're just hovering over this planet at the end, right? I don't know what planet it is. I don't know if that's where they needed to take her.
Yeah, like they talked about like this meeting.
Yeah, and here's like the meeting. I'm like, where is it taking place though?
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
I guess there.
Maybe Dantooine.
Oh, maybe.
Did she say Dantooine?
I think so.
Okay, maybe it's
Dantooine. Maybe they're hovering over Dantooine. But my question is, how did they, like, yes, it's beautiful, and I get it. Like, it's the start of, like, the rebellion we're going to see in the original trilogy, which is exciting. But my question is, how did those ships know where they were?
That's a good question. I mean,
if she's being secretly guarded, how did they know, oh, I'm going to hyperspace to her location, zit.
That's a good point. Well, I mean, unless they knew. Point, I feel like Dantooine is sort of becoming the hub for okay. where some of the rebellion goes. So maybe they already have some knowledge of where this is.
Okay.
Maybe she said a code phrase. I don't know. But I get what you're saying. Like, you're like, oh, that's so cool. Wait.
But maybe you're right. Maybe they knew that was the meeting place. Maybe.
Maybe I think Hera says it's like all different sanctions of sails. And this is the first time they're all kind of joining up.
Okay,
gotcha. So this is sort of like the precursor to, I think, Dantooine becoming that safe haven for them.
Okay. Gotcha. Answer my question.
What would you rate this episode?
What did you rate it?
I think I'd give it a 6.
That's what I was going to say, 6. I mean, it's, for my first viewing, it was nice to watch because it was like a new Rebels episode, so that was nice. But it pretty much was firefight, pretty much.
Yeah.
The whole episode.
And I like action, but it can, you know, drag on.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. But it was exciting to see Mon Mothma there. It wasn't a surprise because I kind of knew that she was the person on board or whatever, but I liked it. It's just not something, it's not like one of my favorites. I think it's another one of those episodes where it's like, okay, we gotta tie this together.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It kind of feels like that a little bit.
Oh, I will say my favorite line in this entire episode is Ezra's line, oh great. I can't remember what's going on.
Even the attitude.
Oh, great.
Like, I think Hera's, when she said we're a little busy or we're a little in trouble or something, it's after him and Dutch finally get out of that, navigate that tie.
Oh, they're stuck in the tractor beam, yeah.
And then when he, like, the pan is like all the Star Destroyers, and it's like, oh, great. Like, even like the eye roll is like, great.
Alrighty, so we're gonna go to our activity now. And this activity is just questions. It's May the Questions Be With You. / Mothma moments.
Okay.
So they're related to Mothma's presence in this episode. All right, first question. Did this episode change how you view Mon Mothma or the formation of the Rebel Alliance?
I don't know if it changed my view. I knew they had to form all together at some point. Like I said, maybe this was like the episode to show how they came together. I think in terms of viewing her, it was nice to get more information on her than just she's a senator and like, okay, but how did she join and like, I guess below I'll put see Andor, I guess. But like, it was nice to get more of her character, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say she's kind of the background character in A New Hope, and that's all I knew about her. I'm sorry. That's all I knew about her until I saw this episode. So, yeah, I was glad to get more background on her.
Mm-hmm.
How does Mon Mothma's speech resonate in the context of the larger Star Wars universe?
I mean, like I said earlier, we now have a senator speaking out. I mean, Star Wars is all about, you know, speaking out for others and doing what's right. But the fact that it's someone of high authority now, I think, is a big turning point here for Rebels.
Mon Mothma knows speaking out. I'm just going to piggyback off what you said. Mon Mothma knows speaking out will make her a top Imperial target. Why do you think she chose this moment to go public with her supporting the rebellion?
I think she had enough. I mean, she already said, like, I've tried to fight in the Senate. It's not working. And I think in Andor, we get more of the push. I think she was pushed to do it. I think she wanted to do it all along, but it was kind of like, maybe it'll get better. Maybe I can do more here. And I think she reached a point where when you have the Emperor executing people, it's kind of hard to just sit by and be like, oh, well, we'll fix it in the Senate.
We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it diplomatically. I think at some point she was pushed to. Now, why she chose this moment, like I said, I think she just had enough.
Mm. And I haven't seen Andor, but I'm sure there's plenty.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Things that she's like, yep, I'm leaving. Peace.
Deuces.
Which there is a scene in Andor recently where she's like tossing her robe.
Oh.
One of her Senate robes, like very symbolic. I did see that scene. That was pretty dope. I'm not gonna
That's
lie.
That's cool.
Yeah. How does her personal sacrifice compare to those of frontline fighters like the Ghost Crew?
Well, I think she's not used to being on the front lines. She tells Hera that. Like, I'm not used to this running. I mean, she's not even... I don't even think she's used to holding a weapon. I don't know. I could be wrong about that. But, again, like I said, giving up wealth, I'm sure. I'm sure she had a very nice house, you know, giving up all the material things. But also knowing that if she's caught, she will be executed. Like, she could have easily just been like, okay, I'm going to go in hiding.
But, or I just resign from the Senate. Bye.
Bye.
Don't have to speak out about anything.
I'll just stay here in my house and, yeah, I'll get another job somewhere else. Like, I mean, she could have done that, but she didn't. And I think her sacrifices are just as important as the frontline fighters, even though they've been doing it longer than her.
Mm-hmm. How did Ezra and the Ghost Crew react to her presence and ideals?
I think Ezra was, like, really shocked. Not shocked, but like, wow, did she really call him a executioner? Like, that's shocking in itself. But it is interesting that I don't think any of them says, who is that, when they're watching her. I think for some reason they all know who she is. Mm. So I don't know if they recognize that she's sympathetic to their calls. I'm not sure.
Oh, like other holodeck broadcastings or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Hera seems like she's very shocked when she finds out she's the cargo that they're trying to transport. So it's almost like, oh, it's like, I don't want to say the president, but like...
Yeah, someone in higher government, you know, yeah. A position of government, yeah. We're going to see how Mon Mothma's philosophies differ in the Rebellion. Like, in the Rebellion, there's still... I didn't feel... I mean, even with the end, when everyone's coming together, I still didn't feel very cohesive. I still felt like there's pockets of, oh, we need to do this. We need to do it this way.
Yeah.
We need it this way. And that's coming up particularly between her and Saw Gerrera in season four.
I seem to forget. I'm the person that seems to forget that other people do things differently. And I was like, we're all on the same team. It's fine. I guess that's why Saw infuriates me so much. Because I'm like, why are you doing it this way? But yeah, I didn't even think about that. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe they're still disjointed.
But even being, like, allowed to be that way in the Rebellion, where the Empire, you have to do it this one way, and we're not seeking anyone else's opinion on anything else.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are positives and negatives to having all these perspectives, but that does create conflict.
Yeah.
And we're going to see that play out in the later season.
I mean, look at the formation of our country.
True.
Of America. I mean, that was very contentious. Some people wanted to do this, and some people wanted this, but our state should get this, and we should get this. Like, it was very not what people say, oh, we just all got together and fought the British and won. I'm like, that's not really how it happened, because, like you said, people have different ways of going about doing things.
People have their own opinions, perspectives, life experiences that makes them believe the way they do.
Mm-hmm. And by squashing it, then you're going to get, well, you're just as bad as the Empire. You're just as bad as England. So it's kind of hard to justify, you know, you can't just say, well, that's a dumb idea, Ted.
But I do think that... I do think that even with the contention that will come from Mon Mothma and her way of doing things will create conflict, I think that's one of the Rebellion's strengths. there's no, I mean, there is kind of like, Hera is like a captain. Yeah. There is some sort of ranking system, but everyone jumps in and everyone has, you know, well, did you hear about this? And this tidbit, this piece of information. And like, they pull it from all different places. It's not just one person making the decisions as it is
in
the Empire.
So. Yeah, and the Empire, that's one of their weaknesses, I feel. It's very and it's like, when you do that, I mean, yeah. I mean, they find out. They lose, so.
Spoiler alert!